Welcome to the WMNF Afternoon Call-In Show, The Last Call. I'm Sean Canaan. In a moment, we'll open up the phone lines to take your calls at 813-239-9663. Today, my guest on Last Call is presidential candidate Roseanne Barr. The comedian and actor is one of 12 candidates for president on the Florida ballot. Barr is running on the Peace and Freedom Party ticket after an unsuccessful bid at becoming the nominee for the Green Party. Her vice presidential running mate is peace activist Cindy Sheehan. Well, I want to thank you for joining us on WMNF today, Roseanne Barr.
Hear me?
Yes, I can now. Sorry about
okay,
the problem.
Yeah. So, thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much, and happy Halloween.
Hey, thanks. Getting ready to go celebrate.
Me too. Well, some of our listeners might not have heard about the Peace and Freedom Party. Can you tell us what that is?
Well, it's a party that I'm the nominee for president of, and it's about a 45-year-old party. It's a party of visionaries, radicals, and thinkers, and pretty much fringy, and or has been in the past because it hasn't been owned by special interests or, you know, any billionaires. But it has a socialist agenda and a socialist platform. And you should read about it by going to RoseanneForPresident2012.org or the Peace and Freedom Party, their own website, or my RoseanneWorld.com. There's information everywhere about it, and you can search it. I like the platform a lot.
And you mentioned that it has a kind of a socialistic platform. What is it about? What are some of the policies that make it socialist, and what is that that appeals to you?
Well, you know, you'd have to read it for yourself because I'm not really that much of a wonky person that can go point by point. But it does, you know, talk about seizing the means of production and all the regular socialist things that everybody knows about, and talks about, you know, equality, justice, freedom, peace, and everything that everybody on the left is supposedly interested in. It's got good foreign policy ideas for the end of the drug wars, and, you know, just for the usual host of lefty ideas, most of which I'm in accordance with.
Ending the drug wars is one I want to talk about, because on your campaign website, you highlight four issues, and one of them is legalizing marijuana. Why is that an important issue to you, and why is it that we don't hear from Barack Obama and Mitt Romney about that issue?
Oh, boy. Well, it's an important issue to me that pot be legalized. There's about 50,000 reasons why, but of course, the biggest one is that we live in a free country. And that adults should have the liberty to, you know, relax with a drink or smoke a joint if they choose to, if this is indeed a free country. The facts of the matter are that almost, what I think it is, I'm not totally clear about this because I forget numbers, but it's something like 6 of 10 prisoners in jail and in prison in America are there for pot arrests. And the real reason why I think it should be legalized is because the minute it is, it will totally begin the disarmament of the prison military industrial complex of the United States, which gets a payout every time it locks, you know, a young kid, a working class kid, a teenager of color. As soon as they get them arrested on the joint, and they do use racial profiling to do it in working class areas. Since they get those kids, well, they throw them in jail, and they get a payout for that, of course, and they get a payout for building the prisons. And so much of this election is about privatizing prisons, if people really were aware of what issues really are. And anyway, when they put these kids in prison, what they end up doing them is what they end up doing is using those young people as a manufacturing base, the new manufacturing base for America. This is one example. 90% of all the house paint sold in America that was manufactured in America was manufactured by prison labor. So these are kind of labor camps. Some people call them FEMA camps, but they're run because of the war on drugs. That's how they put it all in place. The war on drugs is the most, You know, like the last time we had prohibition and we created a gangster class that became, you know, billionaires and enriched themselves on, you know, the same kind of thing. You know, it's just history repeating itself. So that's one reason why I want it legal. The other is because it's good medicine, and everybody knows that. And a lot of people use it, and it has helped a lot of people, and there's a lot of scientific fact as to, there's a lot of scientific study, and some say fact, at saying that THC has a healing effect on cancer, specifically on childhood leukemia, and it's definitely an excellent treatment for PTSD, as evidenced by the fact that a lot of veterans administrations, a lot of veterans hospitals now are going ahead and admitting that marijuana THC is excellent treatment for returning troops who are suffering from PTSD. And there's about 500 more reasons. I'm trying to get them all in here. But there's a whole bunch of reasons. Basically, because another reason is if you look at the cover of Time, or is it Newsweek, I forget which, this week, talking about just the tax base that it enlarges and the business that, you know, it brings. And in Colorado, they actually said that it turned their economy around. And, you know, everybody smokes it. I don't know who we think we're trying to fool, but our drug laws are basically, as I said in my speech at Oaksterdam, they're a drug lord's wet dream is what they are. They, like most of the laws since the Reagan administration, began to deregulate everything that people fought for a long time, for fairness and for their health and for their communities and their kids and schools and important things like that that everybody says they care about. You know, about that time, they started to deregulate everything, and, you know, that's just how they put a whole other system, a shadow system in place that was against the basic human rights of the individual and for corporate feudalism. And so those are just some of the reasons.
If you're just joining us,
I could go on forever.
But if you're just joining us,
once I start, it's hard to stop.
My guest on the phone is...
I'm speaking to a level of corruption that begins in our own voting process, and that's why I decided. Are you there?
I am there. Can you hear me?
Another reason why I decided to run for... the reason I decided to run for president was, you know, to try to talk about common sense, data, and fact, those things that are missing from the election dialogue. And, you know, so I just feel like I'm serving my country and trying to point up the things that aren't talked about. So I was the first one and the only one. Well, not the only one, because other people did talk about the legalization of marijuana, and that's a good thing. But I think that I might be the only one that talks about the legalization also of hemp and how it can save our family farms and our country. So with marijuana and hemp, we could actually turn our economy around, and those would be the first steps I would take to, like I say, move our economy from one, a lot of people now are calling it the media prison in military industrial complex. And what it is just a consolidation of power into fewer and fewer hands. And the fact that there are 12 people running for president in this country is just great news. Florida is great news for freedom for that fact.
Our guest on the phone is Roseanne Barr. The comedian and actor is running on the Peace and Freedom Party ticket. And I want to take some phone calls in just a minute. You can call in with your phone calls, 813-239-9663. You can also email us at dj@wmnf.org. This is The Last Call. It's 5:41 in the afternoon. I'm Sean Canan. This is WMNF Tampa. I want to ask you, though, Roseanne, about another platform issue that you are focusing on, and that's the economy. And you've been especially critical of the Federal Reserve. Why is that?
Well, just because it's a Ponzi scheme and a scam from top to bottom that was pushed onto the American people was not long after the Electoral College was pushed onto the American people. I'm just like, you know, I'm a comic, so we like to deconstruct things and get to the core of them so we can write jokes about them, you know. And I wanted to take a look at what really is the driving force of this election and this election process in this country. And it's all just a rigged people say the system is broken, but it's not. It's fixed. And it's completely rigged from top to bottom. And I just kind of got tired of hearing people argue back and forth about which side is better once I realized that they both work together. And the case in point of that, again, is the Florida ballot, Florida elections. Now people are saying, they're telling me, you know, that myself and the other third-party candidates are going to ruin this election for, you know, one half of the duopoly and force Romney presidency that supposedly nobody wants. But my question is, how come this very same thing happens all the time, and it happened with Bush in Florida, and yet, knowing that, the Democrats have done nothing to change that system at all, though it means that they can continually have the elections stolen out from under them, which of course means that the people's votes don't matter. That's really what it means, and that people are being disfranchised right and left in the cities of America who make less than $25,000 a year. So it's just a class war. The fact that you know, and the elections function, the duopolistic two-headed party, which I sometimes call the Republicans and the Demopublicans, they've got it all sewed up. They use obstructionism. They blame each other so that they, neither one of them have to solve any problems or create one job. That's what it's all about. And it was like, wow, I deconstructed it down to its actual original integrity, and that's what it is. It's a fixed system. And if you watch the third-party debates, which, of course, I was not invited to because for I don't know how many reasons, just cause another and more evidence just that it's all fixed. But they were talking about the top two parties and all that fake stuff. And the fact of it is that none of our Constitution, none of our founding parents ever foresaw that we would have the kind of government we have now, and that's basically a failed government. And you know, it's just really sad to see that Americans have totally swallowed the "you have to vote for the lesser of two evils" trick, which they call it a choice, the choice to vote for the lesser of two evils. But I say that is not a choice. That's a false choice. That's the same false choice as offering working class kids the choice between prison and the army. Those are false choices. Those are not real. It doesn't seem to me as if they're in keeping with what America is really about, those kind of choices. And so I wanted to see if it was possible for a regular person like me who isn't owned by any corporate interests or special interests or big money, if it was possible at all for me to get on the ballot simply by talking about how crooked our election system is. And I did it. So I have to eat a little bit of crow when I said I didn't think this country was all that free. And I think that my being on the ballot proves that it is indeed. And now, due to that great fact, it's time to come up with some solutions that actually work for people and not for just a small amount of people at the expense of the rest of them, but for everybody.
You're on the ballot in Florida. What other states are you in? Give us a
I'm also on the ballot in Colorado and in California. And I'm also, happy to say, on 24 other states that I'm a legal write-in candidate. If you want to see, and we add more every day, although, of course, we're coming close to the end now. But so that means that I'm a candidate on about 27 states.
All right, well, let's take a phone call from Ken in St. Petersburg. Hi, Ken. What would you like to ask Roseanne Barr?
First of all, I've been a fan of Roseanne. I grew up with her. She reminds me of my mom. But how do people expect to take Roseanne serious? Shouldn't she run for mayor or governor first and hold that position before we take her serious on a presidential debate or on a presidential level? Especially when the only thing she can talk strongly about is just drugs.
That's not true. I'm talking about the economy, too. I understand where you're coming from, though, but I'm talking about the economy. I'm talking about life and death. I'm talking about war and peace, and I'm talking about values. I am most definitely not discussing only one subject. I'm also very vocal about health coverage for women, for their pregnancies and for abortions and for health care. So there's nothing that you can, you know, you can't call me a one-issue candidate, because that would be really ignorant and incorrect.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that call, Ken. Why don't we go to another call while we have the chance? Zebulon in Tampa. Hi, Zebulon.
Yes. Hi. First, I wanted to tell Roseanne that I, like the previous caller, have been a fan of yours since your show first came on the air. And the thing I always liked about your show was that you show what 99% of Americans go through every day, just trying to pay their bills and make sure their kids don't become criminals. And so I just really loved the show, and I loved the message behind the show, which was, you know, common sense, pull together, make intelligent decisions, and work together as a community to help everyone.
And also to do the right thing. And, you know, like Americans are just kind of mind control because they think that they can keep doing the wrong thing and get good results. But the fact is, and common sense tells us, you have to do the right thing to get
the right
results.
Now,
and that's,
as you say,
you know, that's an important issue that I raise also.
Yeah, and like you say, the right thing to do now would be to legalize marijuana. That is the linchpin holding a lot of this stuff together.
Absolutely.
And as somebody who has suffered and actually done jail time for nothing more than just a little spliff,
I would have
to say that if I was able to vote, I am disenfranchised, but if I was able to vote, I was going to vote for Jill Stein, but after hearing you break it down the way you just did, you would get my vote this election.
Well, sir, I'm sorry that you live in a free country and are not allowed to vote. That's too bad. But
yeah,
thank you for your comment.
You're in spirit, and I love what you're doing, and I love everything you said. I agree with you 100%.
Thank you very much. I didn't even get to talk about the issue of Israel, which, I mean, when you watch the main party debates as well as the third party debates, is really it seems to be the real reason that most people are voting this election, it appears to be so. And I do have a definite opinion on there, and that's why I wanted to be on the ballot in Florida, so that when people go in that very private booth to make their choice, their eyes just glance on my name, and they know that they did have a choice on the ballot to pick peace and peacemaking rather than constant and endless war, weapon sales, and oppression. And I just want them to know that I really worked hard so that they could have the chance to vote their conscience and not their fear. And I pray that that is what they'll do, or at least consider.
Roseanne, sometime today you tweeted that the Electoral College was part of the problem and Tag Romney's ownership of voting machines, Stand Your Ground gun laws, AIPAC, Halliburton, and war with Iran, these all combine into a Florida vote. Now, somehow you put that into 140 characters.
I'm getting good at the tweeting. Yeah, I did.
So break that down for us. How does all that relate to the Florida vote?
Well, that's kind of what people, I think, in the back of their mind, I think that people have all those issues in their mind as they go to choose who to vote for in Florida. At least people like me do. And I've had all those things in my mind, too, when I, think about who I might endorse by the end of this whole thing. Maybe not vote for, but endorse. And it's really hard. It's really hard to do that just real issues are kind of they don't have time to cover the real issues because the only things they're covering is how to give Wall Street more money. That's basically what I thought Obama and Romney's whole debates were mostly about, and I found that disturbing. But maybe that is what we're supposed to do, and if it is, then I would say for people who believe that kind of way, this would be another great opportunity to actually vote your beliefs, hence your conscience, rather than your fears. And if you're going to vote for, you know, to attack Iran by voting for Romney in Florida, then understand exactly what that means for Israel and how many more deaths that means for everybody in that area, which I think is not the intent That's not what anybody wanted. People didn't want that. And at least I hope they didn't want that, and I hope they don't want it now, and I hope they'll say no. I hope they'll say, oh, we're going to have to figure out how to get along with neighbors everywhere and work together in order to move on to a green and sustainable economy and world.
We're speaking with Roseanne Barr. The comedian and actor is running on the Peace and Freedom Party ticket. She's on the ballot in Florida for president. And I wanted to ask you about...
I like being called a writer rather than an actor.
A writer?
I'm not a real good actor, but I think I'm a pretty good writer.
All right. And I wanted to ask you about Hurricane Sandy, which turned into Superstorm Sandy, and it's gripped the northeast of this country and a lot of parts of the Caribbean. It's, you know, now the topic of climate change is maybe now starting to be brought up again when it comes to these superstorms. What are your thoughts?
I know that some people call it climate change, but I'm a little bit beyond saying climate change. I know the Green Party, Jill Senchi, talks a lot about climate change. I don't think she's wrong to do that, but I think climate change, it's a code word, like everything political is a code word. And I prefer the other couple of code words. One of them is Agenda 21, AFRICOM, and HARP, as well as DARPA. Those are the code words that I more go by than, you know, I'm more subscribed to the theory of weather manipulation. For depopulation purposes.
So you're saying, let me make sure I have this right, you're saying that there are people who are doing it intentionally?
I'm saying it's weather manipulation.
Okay, but I don't know what that means. I'm sorry.
That means HARP, and you may disagree with me, but go ahead and look up HARP, H-A-A-R-P, and look up the history of HARP. And, you know, some people say that's just a bunch of conspiracy BS. Okay, fine, maybe it is, but still, make yourself aware of it. It's interesting, if nothing else. And I do believe that weather's being manipulated, and it's all part of a pattern to depopulate. Yes, I do.
Is HARP the high frequency?
That may not be the exact platform position of the Peace and Freedom Party, but, you know, I'm not a robot. I'm not a mouthpiece. I don't go out and say what somebody tells me to say. I say what I think in my own mind and heart, which is another reason why I like the Peace and Freedom Party. You know, it was the original party of the Black Panther movement, and I guess I'm kind of like I think that I agree with a lot of radical thought, and I don't agree with a lot of middle-of-the-road claptrap.
Before we move on to the next call, I want to ask you if HARP stands for High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. Is that?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
Thank you for talking about it. And also, let's mention chemtrails. That's also a weather modification program that you can read about, chemtrails. Like here in Hawaii where I live, they spray. Look up in the sky and see what they're spraying up there. And there are movies, too, called What Are They Spraying and Why Are They Spraying? And you should just get some awareness on if you haven't any. You might be interested in those things.
We're speaking with Roseanne Barr, the writer and comedian, is running on the Peace and Freedom Party ticket for president in Florida. We're going to go now to Phil in Pinellas County. Hi, Phil. Phil, are you there? All right, let's try John in Brandon. Hi, John.
Hello. Hello, Ms. Barr. When you get elected, we're going to have 3-hour State of the Union speeches. Hey. You know what I wanted to ask you? I think Joe Biden is the biggest buffoon in America. He's a low-grade moron. Can I have your opinion on that?
Well, he's an interesting person, and his views are interesting. I think he needs a tinfoil hat.
Thank you for that call, John. And let's try Sam and Brandon. Hi, Sam.
I am truly disgusted. Do you all continue to host these liberal loony bands on your radio show? I just want to make one question here. This is so un-American, and I just cannot wait for Romney to take control and take back this country. It is
why? What's he going to do? Is he going to produce 12 million jobs out of his ass or what?
We're going to take this country back.
Back from where and to where? The Stone Age?
You liberals are destroying America.
Don't you dare call me a liberal, you son of a bitch.
Liberal loony bin.
Don't you call me any loony bin either.
I am done talking to you guys. This is so un-American.
You're un-American, sir.
All right. Well, Sam, thank you for that call. That was a kind of an interesting call there. All right. Well, we'll go on to the next question. Are you making a film about this campaign, about your campaign for the election?
I'm not making a film. I was documenting it. So, of course, I documented the whole thing, and I'm not sure if it's going to be a home movie or what. But I certainly have compiled a lot of great footage, and, it sort of proves my points.
I also wanted to ask you about some controversy that recently you sent a tweet out that some people interpreted as a slam on transgendered individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So can you clarify things? What are your positions on the rights of people who are transgendered?
Well, I wrote about it on RoseanneWorld.com. I can't say it in two sentences, but I laid out 40 years of activism and what it means to me, and also what it's like to be misunderstood and purposely misunderstood. So everybody go read it if you're interested at all, RoseanneWorld.com. It explains the whole thing. Basically, I retweeted something, and, people just... I guess they think that you retweeting something means you endorse it or believe it or whatever. But, I've always been trying to encourage conversation because I am an American. I'm not I'm not somebody who wants to see conversation ended with name calling. So, I think it's a good conversation. I continue to want to have it. I don't know if it's possible to do so without attacking your opponent's character, though, so I've sort of put a hold on it for a while.
All right, let's try to go to the phone now. Marcella in Tampa. Hi, Marcella.
Hi. Hey, I'm sitting in my car. I'm waiting to call. Talk. This is the first I've heard that you're running, Roseanne.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have so much admiration for you to speak out so clearly, and you are expressing things that I've been thinking about. I've been working on the Obama campaign, and I just stopped volunteering. I said, well, I'll drive people. It's just that nobody's talking. You have said more.
I have, and I haven't even gone and begin to go into the rights of our women troops and what's happening to them. For this one guy that called in and questioned my patriotism, which, of course, despots and scoundrels have to do. But our female troops, combat troops, are really, really suffering. And, that was another reason why I wanted to run for president, to bring that fact, is that this whole machine that clamors for war and clamors to sell weapons to neighbors who might be in a squabble, and then to accelerate it to, like, the point of nuclear annihilation, they need to be questioned and stopped. And because I'm not, a lot of people think I'm crazy. I may be, but I'm not that crazy.
Well, thank you so much for that call, Marcella. And I want to thank you for joining me today on WMNF's Last Call, Roseanne Barr.
Hey, thank you. Are we done?
We are done. I appreciate so much that you called in, and have a happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you, too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That's Roseanne Barr, the presidential candidate with the Peace and Freedom Party. Thank you to everyone who called. This has been the WMNF Drive Time News call-in segment, The Last Call, and I'm happy to say we only had to censor the show twice. I'm Sean Canaan, your host every Wednesday. Maria Oliver has been our engineer. Thanks for your support during our recent membership drive. Last Call missed its goal, but you can support our live local call-in show any time of the year by going to WMNF.org. Join us again tomorrow for Mitch Perry on Last Call. Now stay tuned for Lounge Laura Taylor.